Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Clint Fisher, kind of founder of Brain Trust Ag. You also do some advisory work and talk about transition planning and things like that. So I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Whitney, for having me with you today. I mainly work one-on-one with farmers and ranchers, and that's through this Brain Trust Ag project, an idea that came about focusing on the business management side of agriculture, farmers and ranchers, and people starting what I like to call ag-adjacent side hustles, and then also helping the transition of ag operations from a generation that is looking to retire or sunset, maybe take some of the duties, roles, and responsibilities off of the owner generation's hands and either transition those to the next generation or potentially a third party coming in to take over the farm and ranch versus just selling off the assets. And so my background, I'm born and raised in East Central South Dakota and been involved in various aspects of ag for my entire career, and decided to go to law school about 12 years after working ag retail and managing various ag retail businesses. And part of the experience of going through law school was focusing on the transition side of ag, the succession planning, mainly because as I was working with various operations through some advisory work, one of the key things that stood out is there's a lot of folks who don't have a plan. There's a lot of folks who have maybe some type of a plan that's been discussed but never put down into writing. And there's a lot of folks who have some plan, but maybe it hasn't been updated or reviewed or looked at in quite some time, and dynamics have changed within the family. There's a lot of different aspects to a farm transition that often are not talked about enough, or they're just real uncomfortable to discuss. I mean, nobody really wants to admit their own mortality. And so that focus has really been a driving force for me and my one-on-one advisory work, but then also a reason to start Brain Trust Ag, which is just a way to bring more of these resources and connections with content and education and various industry experts together in an online setting in order to really reach out and talk about these issues that frankly go unmentioned when the majority of the people are focused on rainfall and weather trends and yield and the market dynamics. I look more at the business side of the operation, and then how is that going to be transferred to the next generation?
I don't think it's a secret that farmers and ranchers have a hard time, as you mentioned, talking about that kind of stuff, talking about not doing it anymore. And it's something that I think is definitely needed. You know, a lot of people kind of try to start on this and don't know where to start. So what are some of the important considerations when you decide that you need to start putting a plan down on paper, making it real, and actually having it in place?
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good question. And it's a question that I get asked frequently. Probably the most common question is, I don't know where to start. Where do I start? There's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of attorneys and accountants and CPAs and other transition advisors, farm succession planners out there who have a lot of good resources, who have a lot of experience in that world. And really, to me, the key to starting is it's not worrying about the actual asset distribution. It's not worrying about how am I going to structure this to be fair or equitable to non-farm heirs as well as on-farm heirs. Really, the place to start is with the owner generation asking and answering this simple question of, ultimately, what do I want to see from this operation? What do I want to have happen to the assets? What do I want to have happen to the legacy of the operation? And asking and answering that simple question provides a wide variety of answers. And oftentimes, if there's two spouses involved in the plan, you'll get different answers from each spouse. And so what I like to do is just starting with that big picture question, and then each step along the way of building out a format, an outline of what that transition will look like, continually going back to that question and just saying, ultimately, what do we want to have happen? Ultimately, what do we want to see have happen with this operation? Because then that's kind of our North Star. Once we get that answer, that lets everything else fall into place, so to speak, in order to really achieve that objective. So that's really the starting point when it comes to the owner generation's goals and objectives. And then the other thing that should start pretty soon when a farmer or rancher is thinking about, all right, we need to put a transition plan in place, it's identifying who's going to help put this plan together. It's something that some folks are very good at. Some folks are very independent. And I think putting together that call it a board of advisors or, just the there's wisdom in counsel, as they say, that's really important. And some of those people would be, the CPA, your tax accountant, because there's oftentimes, significant tax implications to these transition plans. The attorney who you work with, or somebody who's really experienced with ag farm succession planning, to understand the role of the trusts and to understand how, we can structure some of these business entities and advise on what's the right path to pass that along to the next generation or a third party sale event. And then, there's life insurance that often plays a role into things. Your ag lender, your banker, should be apprised and be able to weigh in on how we can structure some of the land's debt or whatever that might be. And then so what I do is I kind of act as a conduit amongst all the different parties, putting together really a plan that we think achieves the owner's goals, objectives, and presenting that to the respective parties and saying, okay, here's the big package. Now tell us what you see here that may or may not, that in your experience may or may not work. What hurdles, what type of, implications does this plan have from your lens, Mr. and Mrs. Attorney, from your lens, Mr. and Mrs. CPA? And so that building out that team is really crucial for just an overall comprehensive plan. So step one, really just sit down and think about ultimately what do we want to have happen to the operation. Step two, to build out your team of advisors and really commit to making the plan all the way through to the end so that we know that we have something in place that is going to at least achieve most of what we're looking to achieve, and recognizing that plans change over time and, we need to revisit it, hopefully annually. But so those are kind of the first two starting points, so to speak.
So kind of making that goal apparent right away and sort of working backwards is what I'm getting out of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then, and then to add on to that just a bit is, once the owner generation identifies what it is that ultimate goal is, I like to separately ask that same question to the successor generation. So they're going to have their own idea of what this should look like or what it could look like in their eyes. And what that allows us to do, as they're separated, they fill out their goals and objectives, short term, you know, medium term, long term. And then we can put those together and say, okay, what are the common goals here? Where are we aligned, owner generation to successor generation? And where are, you know, some differences that we're going to have to work through, you know, potentially compromise, knowing ultimately that it's the owner generation's final, you know, say about what they want to have happen. But the more we can align those goals and objectives between the two generations, really the better the overall plan is going to be. And it really allows for a higher viability level, a higher level of chance of success for that next generation taking over the operation.
And, you know, I've recognized that from your Twitter here, and I've followed you for a while, and you've had some interesting stories to share. Some unique situations that you've seen or had questions on. What are some of, maybe just pick one unique thing that kind of has stood out to you in helping people with this sort of an issue in this sort of estate planning?
Sure, sure. You know, a lot of what my role is, it's not crunching numbers. It's not strategically trying to set up a business entity or helping out an attorney set up a trust. A lot of what it is it's family, understanding family dynamics and trying to help the owner generation with decisions of what is fair and what is equitable. And a lot of that comes from one farm heir and then, you know, three non-farm heirs. So for instance, was working with a couple who had one son who was going to take over. He had been working in the operation for years. Another son who would like to come back to the operation someday, hadn't really been involved in the operation. And two daughters who had off-farm careers, moved out of the area. Initially, the goal of the owner generation was, well, we're just going to split everything a fourth, a fourth, a fourth, a fourth. Well, what does that mean? How do you value that? We have some cash assets over here, some, you know, retirement accounts, things of that nature, that those are fairly easy to distribute. We have a land base that is not easily carved up and is also necessary for the farming son to take over in order to keep the operation viable. And so the question then comes in, you know, with that particular situation, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at some life insurance to help the farming son take over. But how do you value that property, and how do you value his involvement in the operation over the last 10, 15 years? You know, sweat equity, how do you place a value on that in the owner's eyes? So you can see pretty quickly how it can get complex and very subjective when it comes to fair versus equitable, and with farm heirs and non-farm heirs. And so, you know, that's a pretty common issue, a common thing to work through. And that really comes at pretty close to the beginning stages of the transition planning process, because until we really understand what it is that we want to have accomplished and what can keep the operation viable, it's tough to structure, you know, all the entities and the trusts and wills and all that stuff until we really identify, you know, that upfront stuff. And so that's a situation that's fairly common that gets complex in a hurry, and that doesn't include divorces and spouses and, you know, grandkids who might be part of the operation, right? So you can see how it'll really get complex with that family tree just branches out and grows. And so that's the type of situation I like to talk about on Twitter. I like to talk about in, you know, through Brain Trust Ag, just so that people are thinking about it. If you're in your 50s and you say, well, I'm going to farm another 20 years, that's great. Unfortunately, sometimes accidents, you know, things happen. We're not immortal. But also, how are we now, if my retirement date is 20 years from now, how am I setting up a business entity that we can easily pass down to the next generation through shares or units or however that might look? And, you know, knowing about the tax implications down the road, all of those things. So I encourage people to start thinking about these family dynamics, these structures, long before many folks think they oughta.
Well, the other question I have is what happens if that isn't in place? I mean, of course, that can go a million different directions as well, but that's kind of the why and the importance of it then.
It is, and there's, somebody once told me, there is no such thing as not having an estate plan, because whether you have one or not, the state has a plan for you. And so, you know, if there is absolutely no plan in place, there's no will, there's no vehicles at all. The state has regulations, laws that determine how the assets are distributed. And oftentimes, you know, I would say more often than not, probably 99% of the time, the state isn't going to distribute assets how you would want things to be distributed. And so if you don't have a plan in place, something's happening to your property and the state is deciding how that will go. So that's the ultimate, fallback plan, I guess. But to me, that's not a great plan.
So as you work through this and help more people and get more involved in this, what is some of the trends that you see happening? Where is kind of the future of ag transition, generational transition moving toward? Is it something that you've noticed people are thinking more about and are getting more comfortable talking about it? Or is it something that you still think there's a big hurdle there?
I think there's still a big hurdle as it relates to just wanting to take the time, because it does. It takes time. It takes uncomfortable conversations. It costs money to engage professionals in putting together a plan. And so it's one of the important things that often gets deprioritized, gets kicked down the road. But as far as trends, What I've been seeing is a lot more willingness from both successors and, you know, owner generations to structure things creatively in order to keep the operation viable. And by that, I mean that there are ways to have long-term leases in place that will, you know, provide for non-farm heirs income, but they're not actually taking ownership of those assets. You know, they're taking ownership of those assets, but they're locked up with a long-term lease. I think there's a lot more willingness to see, you know, seller finance type structure to a third party. So, for instance, working with a couple of folks who have a farming operation, they really like the legacy that they've built. They don't want to sell it for parts. However, they don't have a successor to take over within their family, whether they don't have kids, or maybe they have, you know, their kids have careers off the farm and aren't coming back to the actual production side of the farm. And so they're willing to be creative in how they transition the farm to give a young person a shot who comes in and says, you know, I'd like to be an apprentice for a year. I'd like to learn your business, learn your operation, and ultimately take this over. And that is going to be through, you know, pretty heavily through the seller giving the young person a real shot. So, you know, structuring things below fair market value in order to keep the viability of the operation, you know, so that some of that creative planning is becoming more common. I think people are more open to that. At least that's been my experience. And then the other experience is the size of these estates are getting much, much larger, than a lot of people recognize until they really sit down and look at their assets and say, okay, this is actually fair market value. You know, I was meeting with somebody not too long ago, and they kind of thought they were in that $800,000 net worth range as far as their land valuation, you know, minus their debt. And, you know, when we actually sat down and did the calculations, they were over $10 million in valuation, and they had no idea, just didn't understand that was what their land value had appreciated so much. And so with that then comes all the tax implications. And so there are some creative trusts, there are some creative ways to kind of, you know, mitigate some of those estate inheritance tax issues that might happen on people who aren't suspecting that they have that large of an estate. And so I think those types of conversations are becoming more common, knowing that the federal exemption is quite high, but farmland values have been going through the roof lately, and so now we're seeing a lot of operations that are surpassing that threshold.
So switching back a little bit to Brain Trust Ag then here, what are some of the resources that people that, you know, are part of that or are watching for that? What is your idea there? How is that structured, and where can people learn more about that?
Yeah, the idea behind it is that I come across and I have a real passion for helping people who want to get into production agriculture but don't have an operation to take over, or they are, you know, they left the farm or the ranch for a number of years and are wanting to come back and become involved with the operation, but maybe they want to look at things a little differently than grandpa and dad and mom did. And so those are really the people who I like to help, and I like to provide some resources and content and information for, really on the business management side, because all too often, whether it's, and it's no knock on our extension services throughout the country, there's just unbelievable amounts of great content and resources available with all the extension services. However, so often they're really geared toward somebody who has a background in business management, a background in ag business, who can really grasp that. And so I get questions, you know, pretty basic questions of, well, what do I need to look at to start an operation? And I try to synthesize it down, cut through the noise, and say, all right, we've got revenue, we've got expenses, and we need to know what it is our break-even costs are of production, and we need to understand how debt service works. We need to understand how loans work, and, you know, all of just those real core basic business principles that are so often assumed people know, but really frequently they don't know that. And so I'm trying to synthesize that down into digestible, understandable, and practical resources and content, and matching people up with other experts who deeply understand agriculture and all the nuances when it comes to ag business. So for me, the best idea of success for me, and I love hearing these stories, and it brings me just a ton of encouragement and energy when I talk with somebody who was working at the local 3M manufacturing plant. They wanted to get into farming. Well, how do I make that leap? Okay, they, in their free time, they started what I call an ag-adjacent side hustle. So they started a side business that was somehow tied in with agriculture. Maybe they you know, maybe they started a fencing company. So they would go out and fix fences for people. Well, what that did was it gets them in proximity with the farmers and ranchers who may have some opportunities for them to rent some land, to help them out as far as some harvest time, and then we'll swap some equipment. You'll let me trade my time for equipment, right? It's that kind of hustle. It's that kind of ingenuity that I really want to help those people succeed. And that's the type of content that I'm trying to bring to Brain Trust Ag so that we can keep the young generations who want to get into ag, who want to stay in ag, keep them excited about it, having a profitable living so that we can transition a viable operation down and not just one that barely scrapes by and that we're not excited about ag because it's such a hard industry to make a living in without some of these creative resources. And it's something that I think we can do a better job as an industry as a whole in order to really support these next young generations coming up with really simple, basic ideas and concepts about how to manage the business.
And where can people go to find that website? Where's that at?
Yeah, this is a pretty new project, so I'm excited about it, and we'll see how it morphs. But it's braintrustag.com, and through that there's a newsletter where I send out every week, just some expert tips from other folks, because I'm not an expert in everything, I can assure you that. And just some resources, some guides, and then some headlines throughout the industry that I think are helpful for folks. There's a library of resources within Brain Trust Ag that folks can use, templates and checklists and ebooks, things that are really trying to boil down common sense business and transition principles. And then we have a resource called an endorsed service provider, and that's somebody who's been vetted out, who provides professional services that are really specific to agriculture. They have experience in agriculture, they know the nuances of ag, and so really trying to match them up, the experts up, with the folks who are looking for that advice. And that's really the gist, the core of Brain Trust Ag. And I have really high hopes for the amount of content, the type of content that we can bring to Brain Trust Ag. For instance, next Thursday, the 30th or 31st, we're doing our first just kind of a meeting of members for a half hour. I just want to have a live, call it a coffee shop talk, no specific agenda. I just want to get people involved with their peers, to learn some of their successes, some opportunities they're seeing, and some issues that they've come across, and some lessons that they've learned, and just being able to relate to other farmers and ranchers who are like-minded and who want to improve their operation, start their operation, or even transition their operation. That's really the goal of this Brain Trust Ag community.
All right. Well, thank you for all of the information here today. Anything else that you want to touch on quick before we let you go?
You know, I think the one thing I would touch on is that there's a lot of, through just in ag in general, whether it's markets or weather or, just general, there's just generalized stress that impacts all of us throughout the industry. And I think it's important to be connected with a core group of people, of peers, of mentors, and people you're helping, mentees. And I just encourage, especially the more experienced, the older generations, to try and take one of these younger folks under their wing and help them out. It will go a long way within the sustainability of the industry for generations to not look at the next generation saying, oh, you're entitled, but to say, I'm here to help. I'm here to advise. Here's what's worked for me. Here's what didn't. Here's the lessons I've learned and all my failures. And I think that is such an important thing that this industry generally does pretty well at, and we can always improve on.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for all of the information. Again, Clint Fisher joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.